sing it later. There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. Note, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. And then we'll sing verse 3. There's a sad day coming. Well, what make it sad? When the sinner shall hear his doom, depart, I know ye not. And then there's a bright day coming. What will make it bright? But its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. We'll sing that at the end of our lesson. There's a great day coming. Well, why will it be great? What will make it great? Let me read to you from Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Judgment at the throne of God. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and no place was found. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them. In it. And death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This day will be a great day, first of all, because everyone's going to be there. Can you imagine it? I can't. I mean, it's beyond our ability to fully comprehend. Everyone's going to be there. Every one of you are going to be there. Everyone you have ever known, everyone who has ever lived will be there. It says, the saints and sinners will be there. Well, folks, that's everybody. You're either a saint or you're a sinner. And that's everybody. It says the great and the small standing before the throne. Well, that's another way of saying everyone. Everyone will be there. It is the only day in which everyone will be in attendance. There won't be anybody coming in late. There won't be anybody leaving early. Everyone will be there. Secondly, it's a great day because everyone is to be judged. A decision is made about everyone. From Hebrews 9, verse 27, and as inasmuch as it had appointed a man to die once, and after this comes judgment. I didn't read that very well. Let me do it again. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Everyone will be judged. They will be judged according to their deeds, which are written in the book. One of the books that will be opened are the recorded deeds that we have all committed. Another book will be opened. It is called the Book of Life. Only those whose names were written in the book of life were spared the second death. And there is a different destiny for each category. One, eternal death. The other, eternal life. So it is a great day because everyone will have their life judged. You know, that's sobering. That's sobering. Think about that. I'm going to be judged. God knows how I've lived my life. He knows how you've lived your life. A decision will be made. Life, death. It'll be a great day. And thirdly, it is a great day because everything of earth will be destroyed, burned up with intense heat. 2 Peter 3:8-12. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. First of all, I want us to note in this passage, what is God's attitude toward the fact that there will be punishment? He doesn't want anybody to be punished. It is not his expressed will or intent to punish anyone. He wants everyone to enjoy the fellowship of eternal happiness with him. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people are you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? It's pretty hot today, isn't it? We're still here. It's not as hot as it's going to get. What is it today? 100+? I didn't happen to look at my thermometer in my car. It gives me the outside temperature. It's nice and cool in here, or at least cooler than outside. But I read this passage to mean that one day this building's going to be gone. It's going to be burned up. Everything that we see about us is going to be destroyed. It's gone. That's a great day. That is a day of destiny for everyone. Everyone's there. Everyone is judged. All things of earth are burned up. Now, our Jehovah's Witness friends will tell you that this is just a purifying, just burning up evil. And that God's going to purify this earth, and therefore we can live on this earth. This is the new heavens and the new earth. Usually I just respond, well, I don't believe that, but if that's the way it turns out, I want to be here then. But this to me is clearly teaching everything of this life is burned up. Now, that's a great day. You say, oh, I think I'll pass on that day. No, no one. Everybody's going to be there. Secondly, the song says there's a sad day coming. The reason I inverted the verses, I like to end on the bright day rather than the sad day. So secondly, which is the third verse, there's a sad day coming. The sadness of that is, according to the song, that most will hear him say, depart, I know you not. I don't know you. Jesus said, Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. An affirmation of, yes, Lord, I was with you. Even a misguided assumption and thought that, yes, I'm okay, will not hold up in that last great day. Only those who are truly with the Lord, who do not practice lawlessness. This goes back, or harkens back to our point this morning. Our foundation must be the Word of God, and judging what we do is being according to what God said. Therefore, we will not be guilty of practicing lawlessness. But this doom that awaits and therefore becomes a sad day for so many is further described as being away from the presence of the Lord. I don't know that I can fully understand. In fact, I don't know. I know I can't fully understand or understand well. A burning that always burning but never burns up. I don't quite comprehend just how that's possible. It's what the Bible says. But one thing I can comprehend better is that it is also described not only that there is punishment for the wicked, but the wicked are banished from the presence of the Lord. Listen as I read from 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 through 10. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. Now note, the persecutions and the afflictions which they were enduring pointed to something very important. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. He says, dealing out retribution to two classes of people, those who don't believe in God and those who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that's sad. Now I want you to pause with me for a moment and think about all the funerals you have attended. Some of you are young, maybe not have ever attended one. I've been to a lot of them. Not only because I'm older, but because we started going to them early. Our parents believed that we needed to go. We lived in a big family. The Kilgore family was quite a large family in our community. And all of my great aunts and great uncles and et cetera, started with 14 kids. You know, when you start there, it doesn't take long to multiply. So we were constantly going to birthday parties and funerals and some weddings. I want you to hearken back to the funeral orations you have heard. How many have indicated that this person died without hope? How many of them, even though the person may have been known as a public sinner and one who had no faith at all in God, we pick out the things that we can say that are good about them. And I've been in that situation more than once. Why? I think this kind of end, this kind of punishment, is so horrible that it's hard to accept that it would happen to anybody. But there it is. That's what the Bible teaches. Away from the presence of the Lord. What if, which I think will happen, so it's not an if, Paul indicates there coming a day where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It will be plain. It will be obvious. And then to be told, you will never be able to be with Him. Never. But now I see it. Too late. Banished from the presence of the Lord. I am so delighted that God has not asked me to make that judgment about anybody. Not even myself. God will do the right thing. But here it is. It's a sad day coming. A sad day. For the sinner will hear his doom. Depart. I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? And then verse 2, which will be our last verse. There's a bright day coming. It will only come to those who love the Lord, the song says. Note John 14, verses 1 through 3. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It is Jesus' desire to be with his disciples. He was leaving them. They were sad. He was going away and he said, you can't go with me now. Well, where are you going? If they didn't understand. He said, but let me comfort your hearts. Yes, I'm going away, but I'm coming back. And then you will be able to be with me. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away. There is no longer any sea. The sea is seen as that which separates us from God. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. In other words, he's living now among men. And he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, and there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Here, a reunion is pictured, where God will tabernacle as he once did, with a literal tabernacle and then the temple, and does now in his church. He lives with us. He's with us. But one day we will be with him in even a more perfect state. For the Lord himself, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Being with the Lord, the beauty of heaven. Early this morning, I heard a man who's written a whole book on beauty. He's dead now. But a lot of things that he said, I thought, were interesting and thought-provoking. Beauty. Where does it come from? Where do those sights and scenes come from that cause us to be even overcome with the thought of something even beyond this world, because it is beyond our ability to describe and it moves us? Beauty. And it comes in various forms. Some people with great color acuity, who could see all the colors, are overcome with those colors and the combinations that we see in the world that God has created. I think it's one of the signs of God as the maker of creation. Where else could he come from? I remember the first time I saw the Grand Canyon. And then I remember some sunsets out in the west in Arizona. I've been a city boy most of my life, and so the great expanse, and be able to see the long horizon and the sun setting where it just lights up the whole sky, was thrilling to me. I just stood there and looked at it, thought about God and what he had done. And then I've seen the sun come up over the Sea of Galilee. It just took my breath away, and I thought about the things that had transpired on that sea, and now I was looking at it. And I've looked into the face of a little baby, as many of you have done firsthand, so to speak. I'm second, third, fourth hand. And the wonder of it, the beauty of it. Heaven's going to be all of that and more. In the book of Revelation, it uses various colors to describe the environs. It uses terms like streets of gold and gates of pearl. I wonder why. I don't know that that demands that we think that literally the streets are going to be paved with gold bricks. But it's going to be beautiful. Colors have a way of doing that for many people. And then what about the beauty of sound? Music. The music that will be there. I believe God is behind music that we hear. In other words, he put into the world physics, or the law of sound, and the way it can harmonize and cause harmony. Just like we sang, Brian had us sing where the sopranos start. Did you feel a little tingle when the harmony started coming in with the alto, and then the tenor, and then the bass? And then we all sang it at the end. Now that is Western style harmony. But that's where we live, and it's beautiful to us. I remember growing up as a boy, I could be in a blue mood, but if I turned on the radio and I heard a song that really I liked, it changed everything. It changed my mood for the day. What has the power to do that? God does. He's the one who created these things and gave us the ears to hear it. And then ultimately the greatest aspect of beauty, I think, is the Lord will be there. What will He look like? Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? What's that going to be like? I love the old spiritual that says that when we see the Lord, we bow down and throw our crown at His feet, giving Him all the praise and the glory that He has ultimately brought us to His side. God Himself, right there. Now, with a spiritual body that is adapted and able to be in the spiritual world, to be with the Lord. It's a great day, a bright day coming for those who know God and have obeyed the gospel. So really, we just have one question to ask. Are you ready? You ready? That's what the song ends with, that chorus. Are you, ask us the question, am I ready? You say, well, John, I don't need to be ready right now. I'm young. I'm going to live a long time. I can take care of that later. Oh, really? Just think about the things, the small things in your life that came upon you suddenly that you weren't really prepared for, that you weren't really ready for. Maybe the death of a relative that was, as far as we can say, reasonably young. I have peers that have gone on. My class, my high school class, is talking about getting together for our 55th anniversary. I think that's right. And they list all the ones who've already died. I still consider myself a young man. But I'm not. And I feel fortunate that God has allowed me to live this long. Are you ready? When the Lord comes, we're not going to be able to say, wait, Lord, I haven't obeyed the gospel. Wait, I'm not ready. And I'll close with this question. Why would the Lord keep the day of the Lord when His second coming will come? Why would He keep it secret? Why doesn't He just tell us, I'll be back next year, 2016, August the 10th. What's today? August the 10th or the 9th, whatever it is. A year away. You have 1 year to get ready and I'll be back. Why didn't He just tell us that? Surely everyone will be ready, right? The teacher says this assignment is due in 1 month on this day. What do many of us do? We put it off. We put it off. I'm in there too. We put it off. And finally we say, ooh, it's tomorrow. So we stay up all night, do the best we can. Do you think God wants us to just prep for the final? Or does He want us to live it every day as if it were our last day? Because it could be. And I would suggest to you that that's one of the reasons why even He Himself said, I don't know the day. Only the Father knows the day. He keeps it from us because any day could be the last day. This could be the last night. And if so, if we're ready, this will be a glorious thing. We can pray as John did at the end of his revelation. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We're ready. He said, well, John, we're not perfect. Does that mean we? No. We're so grateful that as we've remembered today, his body and his blood given for our sins. Thank you, Jesus. If you'd like to get ready, won't you come? Let's stand. Let us sing.